Welcome to the 618 Now, a production of the Chamber of Commerce and the O'Fallon Weekly, where we give you a snapshot of what's happening right now in O'Fallon and Shiloh. Today is Friday, March 15th, 2024. So Jessica, what's going on?
Jonathan, welcome back.
Thank you for having me again.
Nick is still out of pocket for one more week, so we are happy to have you here. We appreciate it. You ready to get on this?
Let's roll.
So over the last few years, a question often asked is, what the heck is going on in the old Offenburg buildings?
They've been vacant since mid-2021, right? When the dealerships relocated to Shiloh?
Yeah, that's right. So there are several buildings. They're larger in size. They have interstate visibility, but from Highway 50, they're also tucked back behind some other businesses, so it's sort of like a unique setup.
Yeah, and it seems like some specific businesses would do well there, but others might not.
That's right. Well, it seems like a new business has realized that they are one of the industries that could do very well there. Pinch North America is a railroad safety parts manufacturer, and they are looking to relocate one of their light manufacturing and assembly plants into one of the old Offenburg buildings. Pinch makes gate arms for railroad crossings, but then they also manufacture equipment boxes and sensors too. And the building they'll use is a great fit because it has large garage doors and enough outdoor space to house their inventory before it gets shipped over to customers.
I love that a few months ago we were all trying to figure out what business would do well there, and now it's like, well, look at that. A railroad company knows this is the perfect space to relocate their manufacturing facility.
I know. And something I didn't realize until the last few years is how challenging redevelopment can be. You know what I mean? So like creating and building new things involves risk, but it's generally easier to consider how something new will fit into an area that's not like fully built up.
Right.
But redeveloping an existing area can be a lot more challenging. So the space has existed for, in some cases, decades. Other things have built up around it. It's got like existing traffic patterns. And so to reimagine how an existing space could be used for something totally different is a lot more difficult. So when we have an opportunity like this that brings in a new industry to the community while utilizing existing space, that is fun to watch unfold.
Absolutely. And having light industrial manufacturing also achieves several goals within the community's plans. It reuses an existing building, it promotes expansion by bringing in more jobs, and it strengthens our community's economic resiliency by diversifying our employment base.
Woo! Look at you, Smarty Pants.
Thank you.
That's great. Totally switching tracks.
But umts.
But on a related note about community goals, one of the areas that consistently ranks higher among residents when they are asked what experiences they'd like more of in O'Fallon is the performing arts. Mm. And this is one of the reasons we enjoy interviewing high school students when they're preparing for their theater production. The student performers, musicians, and the crew work incredibly hard to put on these productions. And this year, the spring musical at OTHS is Les Miserables. And we sat down recently with a few of the students to hear from them. But before we do that, Jonathan, we have some fun facts we want to share that make this show different than the last few. So fun fact, Gabe Lewis, who is the backstage manager, is the first OTHS student in 12 years to fully design the entire set for the musical.
That's amazing. It's got to be super stressful, but extremely rewarding at the same time.
I think so too. Really stressful. And then the other fun fact is that Les Miserables, the school edition, has barely any spoken dialogue. It is nearly all songs,
wow,
which means that the cast and the musical pit crew have to constantly be practicing their parts. And this is something we talked with the performers about, so let's take a listen. So we are here tonight at OTHS, and we have two of the students who are performing in the upcoming high school musical of Les Miserables. Katie, why don't you go ahead and introduce yourself?
Sure. I'm Katie Carrico, and I play Fontaine. She is, like, the first person to die in the show initially, which can be kind of sad.
That is quite the opening.
Quite the opening, right.
And then tell me your name and who you're playing.
So my name is Grayson Shelley. I am playing Andrelas, who is the revolutionary leader.
All righty. So can one of you take a minute, and for people who may not be as familiar with Les Mis, tell us a little bit about the storyline. I think most people have heard of it because it is like the sixth longest running production on Broadway. But for those in the back that maybe aren't as familiar, take a minute and just talk about what the story's about.
Yeah, so it starts off in a prison with the main character Jean Valjean. He's been there for a long time for stealing a loaf of bread. And the show opens with Javert, who is this police investigator, who is giving him his papers to leave. He's free to go. And Jean Valjean leaves. He tries to go get work, and then is denied for being a criminal.
Yeah.
Because that mark is left on him forever, and he doesn't. And at a certain point, he stops showing up for his parole, which makes him a criminal once again.
Yeah.
And then throughout the entire show, you have Javert trying to track down Jean Valjean. That is like his entire goal throughout the entire show. And then while that's happening, you have things like you have Katie as Fantine, who gets fired from her job because her boss thinks she's sleeping around.
Yeah.
And then you have that over the top. She dies.
Yeah.
And then you have that over the top of the French Revolution. Years later, you have a love triangle between Fantine's daughter Cosette, Eponine, and a character named Marius. And just over the top of a lot of war, a lot of death.
There really is no happy ending to this.
Sounds like a very pleasant and upbeat music.
so pleasant.
And sort of the overarching theme, for those who might not be familiar, is kind of like this constant battle of good versus evil, right? So you've got Jean Valjean, and he's a convict, but he's also trying to rebuild his life. He's tried starting over again, but he's on the run from the police investigator who, you know, is trying to make sure that justice is served and that he pays for what he did. But at the same time, you've got the Revolutionary War that's happening. Talk about some of the large scenes involving the Revolutionary War, because Grayson, you have a huge part in this.
Oh, yeah.
Mm-hmm, yeah. So from the second act on, it is in the midst of building this giant barricade and fighting in the streets.
Is that the scene where probably the most cast members are on stage, because all of
the ensemble members, like the guys that are fighting for, you know, their grounds, they're at this barricade, and there's this huge battle scene, and there's like the attack at the barricade, and there's an army officer, which I also play as an army officer off stage, and it's pretty interesting. It's pretty interesting
because the way that we have it staged is the audience is shown the backside of the barricade. So you never see any of the actual fighting. You see like all the ins and outs of what's happening behind the barricade as we're fighting, we're shooting at the enemy. You have all the other ensemble members who are trying to help and like reload weapons and bandaging people, helping the wounded. So there's a whole lot going on during these battle scenes.
Sure. Now you both have done productions at the high school before. How is Les Mis different than other productions you've been a part of?
Well, I will say Grayson and I are like the OGs, and we're seniors now, so we started freshman year.
Okay, so you've been at this
Adams
a while.
Family, yeah. And there's,
which was, fun fact, the first one coming out of COVID. I mean, it was still kind of COVID area.
It was like Adams 2.0.
Yes. It was like half a show.
It was interesting.
But fast forward 4 years, here you are, seniors.
Yeah, here we are now.
So how is this show different than what you guys have done in the last couple years?
Well, it is an only singing show, so there is really no dialogue aside from like no or like just random
on your way,
like just random words, but it's all singing, so it's definitely played a toll on some of the students here who are trying to grow their voice, and like might be hard to sing 24/7 constantly.
Sure.
Or belt 24/7 constantly, and that's why our musical like direct would is Miss Paulette a director, would you say?
She's the assistant director.
So she kind of helps the majority with this, because we're all song. And it's different because, you know, Beauty and the Beast, it's got some just regular acting with song here and there. Same with Anastasia, same with Adam's Family. So this is just strictly an only song, like, singing show. It's
so
pretty cool.
From a performer standpoint, is it easier that it's musical? Is it easier to memorize your lines and understand each scene?
I would say to an extent, yes, but also it's just a different kind of challenge. Because when you're in a normal musical, say that in quotes, like Beauty and the Beast, you have like the normal scenes where you just have like your normal dialogue, maybe a joke here and there. That's easier to rehearse on your own. You can have like you can be at home, have your parent like, hey, can you help me run lines? Mm. This presents a whole unique, different kind of challenge, because you have of course, you have like the little bit of like the tiny minuscule amount of dialogue, but everything's set to music. And
it's hard to rehearse that by yourself.
Well, it's also hard to act through song a lot of the time, because like when you have dialogue and you're like on a play, you're able to act more, and like Eve can be like, do this, you should talk like this. Uh-huh. But for a musical, it's like rhythms, melody, how to say it a certain way, so it's not just note to note. So it's definitely a challenge.
And then also, like, this is definitely very challenging music. There are very challenging parts, very challenging rhythms, very challenging notes throughout the entire thing, so that's also a challenge.
Our pit is, well, so for Les Mis, it's supposed to be an orchestra, but we don't have an orchestra at our school, so like our pit has had to change like certain way that they do things, and like there's a keyboard that literally plays other sounding instruments that we just don't have. So
this is not only a challenge for the performers on stage, but for the student musicians providing the actual music.
Mm-hmm.
That's awesome.
And they're amazing.
It's going to be amazing.
Like, they're, because even two, 3 weeks out, they're sounding amazing as it is.
So good. If you've been following the production on social media, we've heard a little bit of the musical instrumentation, and you're right, they are doing phenomenal. I think a quote that a lot of people associate with Les Mis is, even the darkest night will end and the sun will rise. Mm-hmm. Can you talk a little bit about how that theme shows up in the musical? Like, what does that mean to you all?
Yeah, so the overarching theme that goes throughout the entire play is like this, like, theme of like redemption, hope. So through like the dark, because this is a very dark and heavy show. You have a lot. There's a lot of death, a lot of fighting, a lot of violence, and like through the end, and like through it all, there's always this like little glimmer of hope that like maybe things will get better if we keep fighting for this cause that we believe in to the very end.
Right. Like, although there is no like happily ever after type ending at the end, we do sing to the audience like hope is still here, like even through war, even through everybody dying, even through sickness, like it's, there's still, like what Grayson said, like a sliver of light for everyone.
And what an awesome message to have, again, coming out of a global pandemic that has literally changed, and you know, there are a lot of dark times during that, so great message. Can one of you talk about what's the day in the life of a student musician who's performing in a musical like this? What does that look like?
Well, thankfully, Grayson and I have the honor of not having a seventh hour. So we don't have to, because a lot of people, when we did have seventh hours, we would have to come straight to rehearsal, like right after school, because we end school at like 3, start rehearsal at 3:30. But thankfully, we get out at like 1:55.
Yeah, 1:55,
2 o'clock. And so it's nice. We get a little moment to eat, to like relax before we breathe, to shower, to shower, because we're here forever. Like, it's crazy. But at the end of the day, I honestly think it's a breath of relief for me, because it's something that I love to do. Like, I love performing, I love singing, especially because this song is just singing, and I love the character that I play. So being able to take a break from school to do something I love, just it's great. Even though there are some difficulties of not getting the amount of sleep I need because of homework, it's still pretty cool.
Still worth it in the end. Mm-hmm. Yeah, definitely. So what's next for you two after high school? What are you thinking?
As it is right now, I'm wanting to go into musical theater into college, and I would like to do that as a career. So I went and auditioned at a whole bunch of different schools for like their BFA programs. And I'm still waiting to hear back from a few of them. I've only heard back from two so far. So just kind of playing the waiting game currently.
All right.
I really want to be an actress, like either on Broadway, which is like super, super high up there for me. But I'd love to be just performing on a movie or anything in general, but I do need a backup plan. So I'm going to major into education to become a teacher, maybe become a theater lit teacher, just get out there, and I'll have my summers off to perform on stage or whatnot. So it's definitely what I do in theater now is what I want to take with me when I get older.
I think that's a huge testament to the support from the schools, the director, Eve, the community over the last couple of years, that you guys are putting in the work and you're enjoying it so much. People are showing up, and now you want to keep doing this even after these 4 years.
Oh, yeah.
So the dates, we do want to review the dates. Uh-huh. Do you guys know those off the top of your head?
So Well, so March 22nd, it starts at 7 p.m. And then there's two shows on the 23rd. One of them starts at 2 p.m., I believe. Mm-hmm. And then the next one starts at 7 p.m. as well. And then Sunday is the matinee that starts at 2 as well. So two at 7 p.m., two at 2 p.m.
Perfect. Mm-hmm. So no matter anybody's schedule, they can definitely make time
100%.
To come see you all. Well, Katie and Grayson, we really appreciate you guys being here. We super appreciate that you guys have worked as hard as you have, yourself and all the cast members, the crew.
Oh, yeah.
They incredible behind the scenes work.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, look at the set. I mean,
it's amazing.
It's
I also
cool.
read a fun fact that this is the first time in at least 12 years that the set design has been designed entirely
by a student.
A high
yes,
school student.
By yeah. Gabe Lewis. He's
Which
absolutely
is incredible.
Incredible. Absolutely incredible.
And like, because the little bit that's like behind us right now is great, but like, even better is like this is the barricade. It is so
can't
wait.
Wait
good.
To see it. It's going to be amazing. Wait. Everyone just needs to come for the barricade. Honestly, just come see the barricade. It'll be great.
I'm going to bring my cardboard sign that says I'm here for the barricade. But also, go Katie and Grayson.
That's great.
If you come for nothing else, come see the barricade.
Come to the barricade. Hashtag.
You can still get tickets at oths.booktix.com. And so I definitely recommend getting them before they are sold out.
Sold out, which has happened recently.
Yes, happened at Beauty and the Beast. We were
just last year
selling out shows.
Performances.
That's awesome. So proud of you all. Well, thank you all. We appreciate your time and break a leg.
Thank you so much.
Mm-hmm. Katie and Grayson are awesome. Their late nights in practice are absolutely going to pay off, and
yes,
we can't
sir.
Wait to see them.
Same. Absolutely. And before we get into the calendar, Jonathan, why don't you tell us about how to become a podcast partner?
Hello, 618 Now podcast listeners. Jonathan here, the voice behind the podcast partner, and we're excited to offer local businesses the chance to become a part of our community's favorite Friday morning ritual. Imagine your brand highlighted in not one, but two 30-second spots, reaching hundreds of dedicated listeners a week at an average cost of 40 cents per download. As a proud production of the O'Fallon Shiloh Chamber of Commerce, we're growing and we want you to grow with us. So take the leap and become a podcast partner today. Let's put the spotlight on what you do best. Reach out to me at connect@O'FallonChamber.com or find the media kit on our website, O'FallonChamber.com.
So Jessica, what's on the calendar?
Today is Friday, March 15th. Tomorrow, there is a Vine Street Micro Market at O'Fallon Station. Market opens at 9 and goes until noon. And then, as we just heard, the OTHS musical production of Les Miserables is next weekend, Friday through Sunday. Friday and Saturday performances are at 7, Saturday and Sunday performances at 2, and we're going to link to those ticket sales in the show notes. And just a heads up, the Gateway Grizzlies Bragging Rights game is coming up on Tuesday, March 26th. First pitch is at 6 p.m. This is Mizzou versus University of Illinois in a battle of the states.
Do not sleep on these Grizzly games. For less than the price of seeing a movie, you can take your family out to see some baseball under the stars.
Absolutely. And finally, heads up, the VFW's 0.1K race is coming up on Saturday, April 20th. Now, I'm going to admit something. For a long time, I would see those 0.1K bumper stickers on cars, and I thought those drivers were sort of like poking fun at actual runners, like people who run marathons.
And you're telling me they're not?
They're not. It wasn't until a few years ago I learned about the VFW's 0.1K. That's when I realized, like, people weren't poking fun at others. People with that sticker are actually very kind people who support our veterans.
That's awesome.
Fun fact, this race is the length of just one city block. This is a short run that goes a long way towards helping veterans and their families. And historically, I know that they raise tens of thousands of dollars. So this is a big way to help the V and all of the work they do to support our military folks. So again, that's coming up on Saturday, April 20th in Downtown District, and we'll link to that registration in the show notes. And that's your snapshot of what's happening right now in O'Fallon and Shiloh.
To quote my boy SpongeBob, all right, I'm going to head out.
Sounds good. I appreciate you.
This podcast is a production of the O'Fallon Shiloh Chamber of Commerce. We're a nonprofit with over 600 members, and together we welcome, unite, and promote business. Remember, you can't buy happiness, but you can buy local, and that's sort of the same thing.